Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Holistic Tips with Lori Jean. That song was 10 Little Girls by me, Lori Jean, under Lori Jean Fenella. You can hear that and my other songs at Lori Jean Fenella, LoriJeanFinnella.bandcamp.com. Hi, welcome to Holistic Health Tips with Lori Jean, and I hope you enjoy the opening. Today we have a really, really neat woman on named Beverly Searle. She's from Australia, and she's out in Australia now. She is a researcher, an independent researcher, and she created a program called My Envisioned Mind to heal all of us of our trauma in our life. It sounds like no matter what it is, she's working on changeyourpath.com, a nonprofit right now. And I want to mention I have more tips and tricks at LoriJeanInTheKitchen.blogspot.com. Why I have recipes where I started healing from all my injuries from abuse through nutrition and supplements. And I have experts like Beverly come on and help us further. So let me just open up with Beverly is a highly credited with a master's in healthcare. She's highly credited with a master's in healthcare with honors as well as a graduate certificate in mental health. She's highly recommended. You can check her testimonials at her blog at myenvisionedmind.com, her site. She has a blog over there too, but My Envisioned Mind. So that's myenvisioned.com. So I'm going to bring her on out and just get right into it because she's so ready to talk to me. Hi, Beverly.
Hi. Looking forward to this.
There you are.
Yes.
Me too. I have a lot of people that I know that have been very badly hurt in their lives for one reason or another. If it's not, they've been abused and they ended up with eating disorders, which I found a lot of people that are sexually abused that have come to me, they have eating disorders and they do other harm to their body. Yes. Now, before we get into your miracle treatment here, I just want to mention you have many books out. You are,
yes,
an independent researcher and an author. You have many books out. Now, before the title of your book, you actually have what some people would consider the subtitle afterwards, what the book is about. You say what doctors don't want you to know, and then you put as a subtitle what the book is about. It's in the beginning for at least three of your books, which I noticed. Okay, is there a link sometimes to cover up to abuse there, or?
The medical model is, that's what we call it here in Australia, the medical model. And then you have the holistic model, which covers all the other. But the medical model is very close. And they mainly deal with drugs and talking therapy. and also going into hospital. I mean, I had one young client who was 18 and she'd had over 30 trips to an eating disorder clinic here in 4 years. And she would go in there and she'd have a little bit of counselling and they would force feed her and they'd bring her up to a certain weight and they'd let her come home again. Oh. And then she was, and then a month later she'd be back in there. So over 30 trips in 4 years. And she said they taught her to knit and to socialise a bit, and it, but they could never get to the root cause of any disorder. They don't. One of the main reasons is that their psychoanalysis, which is the talking therapy, which we've got CBD, mindfulness now, which is the big thing, and they're finally bringing in yoga and meditation into mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've done is it's all based on talking therapy. You talk. And you can go into a counsellor and groups and psychologists and that, and you can talk and talk and talk. And you get things off your chest, and you come away most of the time feeling a bit relieved, but it doesn't change anything. And the drugs dampen down things, and some of them are so bad they turn you into walking zombies, and you don't have a life.
Oh, absolutely.
So, they're horrendous. I mean, I'm not against drugs. They have their purpose, but not long-term. Not long-term for the rest of your life where you can't ever excel. See, the difference with my work is from the latest trauma research from Professor Bessel van der Kolk from Harvard University in the 1995, that's when the light bulb went off in my mind because I was searching, you know, for this time. He's done a book called and research called The Body Keeps the Score. It's a good book to get, and he's looked into everything, and there's a percentage of people who never get well from PTSD or anything else. We know that one.
Right.
So what happens is talking therapy, the brain is separated into different components, and the component I work with is the limbic system, which is the emotional seat of the brain. If you type it in, you'll see pictures of it. I've got it on the website as well. Now,
yes,
as you know, if you've had trauma, you've activated the flight, fight, freeze mechanism. We all have it. It's a survival mechanism to keep us alive. So if we step out on the road and a great big truck come and kill us, we don't have to think, oh, my God, please help me, I'm going to get killed. You instantly jump back. Now, this flight, this survival mechanism is activated practically in the womb. From 7 months in the womb, it's activated. The limbic system's working and everything like that. So if you have any trauma, and I have gone back into the, found the trauma in the womb and we've healed it, any trauma, any adversity, which is scary. And what I'm saying to people, like you three, I mean, I've worked with a lot of rape and, you know, attempted murder, those sorts of people. So, and they've all got well. So what you're looking at is, I brought my work back so it's not, so that people don't get scared of it. Like, you're 3 years old, this is my example. You're 3 years old and your big brother drops a hairy spider on you and you run around screaming. Now, that is danger to you. And what happens is you activate the flight-flight mechanism. The whole scenario of you running around screaming goes across into the limbic system, which goes in as a DVD. So every time you see a spider or something drops accidentally onto your shoulder, it activates the flight-flight 1 millionth of a second because that's a survival thing. That's a danger thing. It replays the DVD in your head, which is in the limbic system, which is the emotional seat, and all the emotions flood through. Now, as you can imagine, you see spiders all the time, and it keeps replaying, and then it turns into phobias and panic attacks. Because the fascinating thing about the limbic system, I mean, everyone can relate to this. You know, we all have funny little phobias we have, and smell of something will bring you back to a past. Smell is a very strong activity. So The fascinating thing about the limbic system is it doesn't have a language. It only has pictures. So it doesn't matter how much you talk about something, it will never change the scenario because it's in a picture form.
Oh, that is so wild. That is so wild. Can I give an example? For those who don't understand and they feel like they're getting lost medically, because I make sure I read through everything before I bring a guest on, and I even do a little bit of research, what I can find. And just to make it a little bit easier in layman's term, when I was hurt doing my last radio show, I got hurt the most by my abuser in my head. I was staying at a shelter, and they introduced to us victims their photos to write to. And I was kind of blown away at their form of how they were trying to reach us. But I'm telling you, I was relying on my senses more than anything at this time, and it helped me tremendously. So I shared it with other women at a homeless shelter where I was singing to, and two of them, they definitely benefited from it. And then five of them, it brought an interest, and they were they wanted to talk about where the lyrics from my song came from. Now, it sounds kind of like an open door, but I don't know how pictures in a magazine, and maybe I tried to, we got to pick the ones. We got to choose the ones that we picked to write about. So it was a selective memory. So can you try to give us a little guide of home, how you found this home, and then how did you learn to use it to help others?
Okay, so what you've got is, going back to the spider and your tree, it's the limbic system also doesn't have time. So there's no clock in there. So if you get petrified of a spider at three, it stays with you forever. And you can be 93 and still have the fear.
Okay.
So this is why the talking therapy helps to a certain degree, but it never solves the problem. Now, what I've done is because of myself having horrendous childhood and being misdiagnosed and then finding out exactly what was wrong with me, and then I started my 9-year journey at uni to find a way, because I had 15 psychiatrists and government organizations and counselors said, sorry, we can't help you. So I had to find my own cure, which I did. It took me 10 years. And what resulted in that is this 9-step formula. And because I was running groups and attending conferences and that, every time I'd come back and do something on myself, I'd always tell the group what was happening. And then a couple in the group would say, look, we're seeing you get well. We want to do it as well. And that's how my work started. So I started off with 4 or 5 steps. And you're working with people with dissociative identity disorder, and the old multiple personalities, which are supposed to be very difficult to work with, but they're not. So what you've got is, I've come across a man called Roberto Azzagioli. Now, he was an Italian man who was studied under Freud and was supposed to take transactional analysis back to Italy. And he said that Freud hadn't gone far enough. Freud hated religion and the churches, and what Azzagioli did, he brought in Eastern philosophy of meditation, that type of thing, which we're now doing in mindfulness. So back there 70 years ago, he was never accepted in the mainstream. You cannot go into a psychiatry university degree and do a study on Azzagioli. He was ousted. He was never accepted. And we know what damage Freud did to women's issues, ignoring... Oh, yeah. Their abuse and calling them
he's pretty scary.
What I've done, as he only talks about some personality theory, and it's he talks about that we have below the surface, we have parts of us holding our moods and our roles. Now, to explain that, have you ever watched the movie Inside Out, the Walt Disney movie? I highly recommend
that. Poor little girl with joy was surrounded by four little negative cartoon characters. So, yes.
Yeah. So what you've got is they're your subpersonality. They're the parts you would hold all your knowledge and ability. And you can only make them up to the age of 7. So that's why everyone says that it's so important up to the age of 7. That's when your personality is formed. So you have hundreds and thousands of these subpersonalities, all holding your trauma. So what my work does is under guided visualization in the 9-step formula, where I'm a tool guide into your mind. The formula has to go in, but every decision is yours. There's a spiritual aspect of it, and the spiritual aspect is yours, not mine. So every decision along the way is yours, because this is your mind. And as I say to people, I'm a tour guide. I show you the steps, how to do it. And you go in the limbic system. Because remember how I said that the DVD goes across with you running around in the limbic system screaming? So what you have is a three-year-old you who is petrified of spiders. And a lot of these sub-personalities of yours are frozen at the age. It happens. So they don't grow up. So you go in and you make your mind safe and happy. That's the first 4 steps. And then you start meeting your sub-personalities. So you've got a retreat in your mind. You've got a home in there. You've got a housekeeper in there looking after you. And then you start meeting the parts of you. And you actually ask to meet to the part what experienced the abuse or has the eating disorder or has depression. And you can actually see them as a hologram in your mind dealing with pictures. And with this work, with my work, you don't have to tell me what's wrong with you, what has happened to you. I have a list. I have a one-page sheet, and all it says is list your traumas. So all we do is I don't have to know. You don't have to talk for hours about what happened to you. This isn't talking therapy. You go in and meet the part of you what experienced it. And using the spider, you go and meet the three-year-old who's still got the spider on his shoulder. And you have a healing process where you take the spider out. And because it's a holograph, you're seeing a holograph of you. There's a healing process. And you say, look at this part of you, this sub-personality, and where is the trauma stored? And a person will say, it's my heart's like stone, or there's a black place part in my brain. And the healing process goes through and washes it all away and heals it. Now, when the holograph is healed, you are healed. You wash it out of your brain.
Wonderful.
You literally take it. See, the thing is, you will remember what's happened to you, but that's in the frontal lobe, which has very limited emotions, our thinking process. The emotional part is in the limbic system. So if you take the trauma out of the limbic system of you being, you know, raped or whatever, or a hairy spider dropped on you, if you take that out of the limbic system and the emotions, it all stops like that.
Now that's the main part of you that's emotionally injured, and then from there you can get therapy still. I mean, continue with therapy, but it hits the main part of where you're blocked. Is that what it is?
No, it does more than that. It actually heals it. It alleviates it completely.
Oh, okay.
And then you can go and you can meet in Australia. We have in England. There's little books called Little Mr. Men and Little Miss by Roger Hargrave. And he talks about you have a Miss Chatterbox, Mr. Angry, that sort of thing. And that's what I use in Australia because people read the books. I said, you've got a Mr. Angry in you or you've got a Miss Anorexia in you. So let's go and meet Miss Anorexia. And we go in and meet her and we talk to her and we put her through the healing process. And then we say, you've had it tough. What sort of gift would you like? And what would you like to do with your life now you don't have anorexia? And within 10 hours of therapy, the person no longer has anorexia. They also have the depression, anxiety, stress. That is brought into normal range, and then you know how to do it. And then you say, what are you going to do with your life? If this one doesn't hold your anorexia, what does she want to do? Some of them just want to go out on a hammock and relax. And others say, look, I want to be active in this person's life and help her reach her goals. And that's what we do.
Put a different vision in there, absolutely. Yes. Put new visions in there. I thought it said on your site some of them continued with therapy afterwards. Now they could go down a different, they could continue if they wanted to, or a mother, it looks like she wrote a... Yes, if they want, okay. But it, what you're doing is you're taking initially, you're putting more pleasant visions in there, which
that's extremely helpful. All the trauma. Yeah, you're taking it out. You don't have your flashbacks anymore. So I'm saying 10 hours and the PTSD or the eating disorder's gone. Some people like to go further than that because they want to restructure themselves. And if you've had an eating disorder for 20 years, you need to find out who you are. And I've had a couple of clients who've had the old-fashioned breakdown. You know, they literally have a breakdown. They have a whole pile of, they've got agoraphobia, they've got PTSD, they've got this, they've got that. And I've written a little booklet on, ebook on the body-mind connection. And that's going with you with the, like you were talking about, is that you have to have your guts working properly. You've got to take your probiotics, stop taking the drugs if you can get away with it. And don't use toothpaste and mouth gargles with all this thing, it kills bacteria.
Absolutely.
It kills the good ones as well.
Yes, it does. The girls as young as 7 and 8 are dieting, and you know exactly how they get anorexia. I had acne. That's when I started not eating enough. Now, zinc is a deficiency in zinc, I guess, adds to this, the anorexia illness. Now, you're going to tell me how they get anorexia from a medical standpoint, from your medical standpoint. Can you please tell me how this happens?
Anorexia is about control. So the first person, if you've read my ebook on what doctors don't want you to know about anorexia, the first person I worked with, she'd had anorexia she was 32, 33, she'd had it since 14. When we went in and asked to meet Miss Anorexia, or the subpersonality that holds the anorexia, she was 3. I find that a lot of people who have major trauma at this age, especially little girls at 3, they're very strong, spiritual little creatures. And that affects them for the rest of their life. And we didn't really know what started it off, her anorexia, but I found out, because it was her uncle who recommended me to go and talk to her, that she said her father is scary now, and he was he's scary now, and he's calmed down. So he never physically hit them, but I think he had uncontrollable rages. And this one, they say I have to keep her under control so she didn't stimulate or do anything what caused the father to lose control. So she created this one about control at 3, and it was only when the puberty came in at 12, 13, 14, when the body was out of control, that this one came forward, because she was about control. The body was out of control, so she was going to control the body by not eating. I found a lot with anorexia or any problem, it stems from something what happened between 3 and 7, which is dictates to them.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've had one girl in America I did over the phone, and she was 14, 15, she was 16, and it came in at 14. But she was changing from, you have a schooling system of going into middle school, which I don't fully understand. But what she did was, she was a very anxious child. All her life she was very anxious. And her life got out of control because she was a bit of a perfectionist. She was a ballet dancer, and you know people who do ballet, they're perfectionists in their life, and in their whole life is their ballet. So she found that she wasn't coping at school, wasn't coping with anything in her life, and she didn't have control over anything in her life. So she was very proud of having anorexia because it was something she could control. So we dealt with her issues of anxiety, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in those 10 hours, she was well.
So, I think it brings security too when a child's looking for that control, but
it's all about control. And the problem with the the movie To the Bone is, I mean, it's heartbreaking to see these people. Look, you've got 1% with an eating disorder, and 10% of those will die. It has the highest death rate of any disorder, and they go in and like they do here, they go in to have hospitals for have support and help, and they come out, it doesn't work. So
forcing them.
Yeah, they're forcing them to eat. When you and they're also saying to them in the movie, the biggest thing they were showing wrong in the movie is that most people with anorexia have a voice in their head commanding them not to eat. And they yelled at the voice, you know, F the voice, and they taught them to refuse to listen to the voice. Unfortunately, when they do that, see, the voice is a subpersonality. The voice is a part of you who's trying to control you, and that's the voice you hear in most cases. So when the voice will stop once you heal this 3 or 10-year-old, whoever it is, the voice has stopped. If the voice has stopped, I have an eviction, step six, I think it is eviction. No one's allowed to be in your head except the parts of you. So sometimes people have a voice in the head which is could be the abusive parent or the bully at school. And when you evict them off your property, which is your safe place in your mind and it's done in the limbic system, the voice has stopped. So the woman who I was talking about who had anorexia for, for 15, 16 years when she was 14, that little 3-year-old, she heard her voice. Because when I went to see her in her home, because I've never worked with anorexia before because I was specializing in trauma, I sat at her kitchen table and I said to her, tell me about your anorexia. She said, I get hungry, I go to the fridge, and the voice in the head commands me that I'm not allowed to eat, so I can't. And when she told me that she had the voice in the head commanding her, I said, Pete, I thought to myself, I can do this. Because I work with voices in the head with trauma people. So when I only saw it 3 times for 2-hour sessions, because somebody who's had it for that long, who's had years of going in and out of hospitals, who've had years of therapy and counselling, they know their disorder, and it's just getting them well. I mean, they can tell you, you know, it does this, you know, that sort of thing. But the talking therapy,
it always looks so easy. I know. It always looks like they're just about there, and you're sitting on the edge of your seat watching as people are going through it, you know, whether it's documented or in a movie. And it's like you want to just grab the situation. So that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. We get the situation, like whatever the, like if it's grief or I have one woman I'm working with who something happened to her, and she does, rituals. She has OCD very badly, and something happened and she was blamed for it. So she has to do everything in rituals and that to stop other people from getting hurt. So with OCD, normally obsessive compulsive disorder, it's normally something's happened to them, the bad things have happened to them, and they do the rituals. Very young, it comes in, the rituals to try to stop it. If they tap something 4 times or turn around so you find the part of them who has the OCD, the part of them who has the depression, whatever is wrong, you just go in straight away. You make the mind safe and happy, which is the 4 steps, and then on the 5th step, you start meeting and healing the part of you. And it's as simple
beautiful.
And easy. And it works. It's gentle. It's, you know, people
and you have
don't
online courses,
react.
Too.
Yes.
With our last few minutes here, before they cut us off. Yes, you have all that at your website.
Yes. So you send an email to us because I've got about 12 courses, but they're not all up. And we're still in the beta process.
MyEnvisionMind.com. We're going to get cut off in any second. But MyEnvisionMind.com. Beverly, I want to thank you before we get cut off. Okay, we will
and
cut
I,
off.
I,
but go ahead. We might get the last one.
Yeah, I do a 20-minute free how I can help you. What are your needs? So book in for that, and I can ring you up anywhere in the world.
Okay, wonderful. And I'm sure that it got that. It'll give me the next 20 seconds. Thank you so much for showing up today. Until next time, Holistic Tips with Lori Jean. Beverly, thank you so much for coming today. This is so informative. We could have talked for a whole hour, and I'm sorry that we got cut off. But I can email you after this. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you, Beverly. I'll email you right after. Thank you so much.